magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, March 24th, 2016. Quick announcement before we jump in and learn about being a convinced listener or a committed learner. And what is the Galilee and what is it not? We'll talk about that and return to our Wednesday conversation in just a moment. But I want to point out, I'm very excited to announce that tomorrow at 10:30 here at the Great News Radio Center, we'll have about a hour and a half to two-hour class on teaching or facilitating or being a part of our upcoming English conversation classes that are going to begin in April, April 3rd. We're going to be hosting them on Monday and Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30. And so if you have a heart for internationals or want to be a part of our upcoming English conversation classes, we have a beginner session and an intermediate session. So two different levels where we interact with internationals. Primarily, it seems like most of them are from China or Taiwan, but it's open to any internationals, and it's going to begin in a few weeks. But tomorrow at 10:30 at the Great News Radio Center, you can be a part of about a two-hour training on how to get involved in this group. And there's no commitment. If you come tomorrow, that doesn't mean you have to sign up and volunteer in the future. But if you want to learn more, or maybe you're doing this at your church, or you want to start it at your church or invest some time with internationals, we'll give you some tips and techniques and some training. And that's going to be hosted by Rosemary Painter, who was on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you tuned in on Monday, you heard from Ruth Esri. Both of them have been instructors and facilitators of our classes this past semester. And so we're looking for some new volunteers and some new helpers. So if you want to be a part of the class tomorrow, email me or call the station just so I can plan accordingly. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Or email me at mark@greatnewsradio.org. 10:30 tomorrow here at the Great News Radio Center. So Jason has mentioned on Wednesday we were going to continue our conversation. It was very fascinating when we talked all about Galilee, what it is, what it is not, and then the difference between those that are convinced listeners, that are many of us, that we attend Sunday school, we're kind of waiting for Jesus' return, but we're not necessarily active agents of the kingdom, going out and making disciples or witnessing or sharing our faith. We haven't maybe become those committed learners that are taking that information and replicating it in others' lives or transferring it to people or just being bold, being, as they say, courageous for the Lord, stepping out of our comfort zone into the Lord's courageous zone, you know, being stretched.
The comfort zone or the courageous zone. So, yeah. That'll preach. Yeah. That'll preach. But first, I think we have some business ahead of that, don't we?
Jason has his iPhone. This is Christian Radio, Great News Radio.
Now, why are we playing this? Do you know what it is?
Having a good...
Nope. They say it's your birthday. I heard through the grapevine that it's your birthday. Yep. You're like 22 again?
22 again.
22
wow.
again.
That's awesome.
That makes your wife 18.
Yeah. Or 13 or something.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Don't even go there. Yeah. You're not.
Another wonderful day in the neighborhood.
So let's just take a moment, and everybody, wherever you're listening, just give a hearty yell, a big happy birthday to Mark.
Thank you.
One, two, three, happy birthday, Mark.
Oh, wow. I can hear it from Cisna Park to Decatur to Danville into Indiana and beyond. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Hey, and anybody who wants to know, he's red.
Yeah.
He's bright red. So, yeah, on Wednesday we talked about what it means to be a committed learner, which is what the call of Jesus wants us to do. But how I think many of us at times are just convinced listeners. We accepted Jesus by faith. We love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. And then we just sit at church and we listen. We attend Bible studies and we're willing to do all those things. But we're not willing to become a disciple who makes disciples. We're not willing to become a committed learner. And the commitment of a learner is to share. I used to have a quote in my Bible that was in the front of my Bible, an old rabbinical quote that said, the fastest way for a blessing to become a curse is when you don't share it. And so the power of blessings come when we share them. And how are we not blessed by the words of the Lord and by what the Lord is doing in our life, by what we're learning about the Lord? And so it's meant to be shared. And what happens as we share that, as we shine that light, is that other people, their heart is deeply moved. Why? Because Corinthians tells us that God gave us the knowledge of Christ in our heart when he separated the light and the darkness, that we might know him, that we might be able to cross that boundary from unbelief to belief, to be able to say, I want him to be the Lord of my life.
And I think it was alluded to some degree on Wednesday, and then possibly the week before you talked a little more about it, but with these convinced listeners, they've accepted Jesus into their heart. They know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they're kind of sitting back waiting for his return.
Sure. Yeah.
Instead of being an active agent of change in others' lives or standing on those promises and making it affect them, they kind of sit there and say, well, Jesus is going to return, so I'll just kind of comfortably wait for him.
Oh, exactly. I think that's totally what we do. And there's a whole other direction we could go to talk about that, but I really want us to stick in Matthew chapter 4. But, you know, listen, the problem that we have between being a convinced listener and a committed learner is not a new problem. It's an old problem. I mean, just consider Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And in Acts 1:15, it tells us that they were in this place gathered together. And for those of you who are astute in your Bible knowledge, how many were there? Well, the Bible says there were 120 of them. Now, that's really interesting, up and against the fact that prior to the resurrection, there were thousands who followed Jesus. There were a lot. In fact, it says when Jesus gives a hard teaching, many, many, many left him because there were a lot of people following him. But there were a lot of people who were just there to listen. There were a lot of fans, but not a lot of followers. There were a lot of people who were just showing up to hear the teaching, but weren't radically moved by the teaching enough in their own hearts or had a willingness in their hearts to follow Jesus into the difficult places where we make disciples. Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me of, I think it's Jonathan Stowell from Moody Church, who says that our call from Jesus is to become followers, but unfortunately we've become content to just watch the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And I think that Ray Steadman would also say, he says it's as if we've been equipped with diving suits of triple layer with the most advanced technology, able to plunge to the depths of the sea, and we've relegated ourselves to pulling the plugs out of bathtubs.
I thought you were going to say sitting in the waiting pool.
No, well, that could be too, because I think we've done that. But it says here, while he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, the first thing I would say this is that I love this. It says, he saw. He saw. Now, remember, Jesus at this time, he's regarded as a rabbi. He's regarded as a teacher. That parallel passage in Luke tells us that prior to seeing these brothers, people are pressing in to hear the word of God. And so Jesus is an esteemed teacher. He's a teacher who's moving people to hear the word of God. In fact, people are coming to him to hear the word of God. But it says here, he saw. And this is countercultural. This is groundbreaking, these two words, he saw. Because in the day of Jesus, students would come to a rabbi to become students of that rabbi. The rabbi would not go to the students. The rabbi would sit and take his position, and students would come and they would vie for the opportunity to be a part of the ministry of that rabbi, to learn from him. And here it says that he saw the two brothers. You know, it reminds me of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, where it says, it's not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God. That God knows you, God sees you, God calls you. This is important that God knows you. Because it says, as we go on here, it says, they were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. I love the simplicity of the Bible sometimes, don't you, Mark? Because I don't know a darn thing about fishing. I'm not a fisherman. I don't get invited to fishing trips because I talk too much. and I'm not all that patient. I can't sit in a boat for hours on end. It's interesting. I can get on my knees and pray for long amounts of time. But when you have me just staring into the water, I'm like, where's the fish? Are the fish coming? Instantly, I'm like a five-year-old. I'm like, when's it going to happen? What are we going to do? When are we going to have lunch?
Yeah. All of a sudden, not a fish. Or a son of a fisherman.
Not a fisherman nor a son of a fisherman. But I love that the Bible goes, they were casting nets in the water. By the way, if you're not sure what that means, it's because they were fishermen.
Yeah.
And it says, and he being Jesus, said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now remember, Jesus saw them. Not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God. Mm-hmm. And then he comes to them and he says, follow me. I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but I really want to pound the nail right here. He says, I will make you. He sees them. He knows what they are and he knows what they are not. He knows what they need and he knows what they do not need. And so he comes to them and he says to them, I will make you to be the exact thing that I'm going to call you to do. This needs to be a breath of fresh air for those of us who are maybe resistant to becoming disciples of Jesus because we don't think that we're ready to become disciples of Jesus. The point of Jesus calling, as he calls these people, is that he sees them, he knows them, and he knows that they're not exactly what he needs in that moment, but he is willing to make them into the very thing.
And oftentimes we make comparisons, well, I don't have these gifts or
exactly.
this, and he's the one that's initiating.
He's exactly the one that's initiating. Listen, I don't know how many people I run into who have said to me, well, when I just get this worked out, I'm going to come to church. When I just get this figured out, I'm going to come to church. If you could have gotten that worked out or figured out, then you don't need Jesus. You are your own God. The point is that he will make you. He will create in you. By the way, he calls you because he believes you're worth making into this thing. You're worth calling. And so for those of us who don't feel good enough, for those of us who are concerned about where we are, stop it. Just stop it. Jesus will make us prepared for the work that he calls us to. And by the way, he calls us all to different work. We got to stand on the promises of the Bible. Far too many of us dwell in where we are not and don't dwell in what God says we are. God says we are wonderfully and beautifully made, that we are worth saving, that the price paid on the cross was paid willingly for those of us that God would, that we would come close to God, that we would know him, that we would accept him, and that we would follow him. And so here, he sees, he knows, and then he still calls. And his calling is to say, I will make you. You're not ready. That's great. You know what? I actually think if you were ready, you would actually be a hindrance to the mission.
Right.
Because you would think you knew. You would think you had a better plan. You would argue with Jesus all the way through. Imagine how much you already argue with Jesus because you're resistant to being obedient. And so it's great that you don't know. I love it. More and more I wake up every morning and I'm, thank God I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Really. Because then that means I have to lean into the Spirit. I have to be willing to ask Jesus more. If I had it all worked out, how much would I seek first the kingdom of God? I wouldn't. I would say, I got this one, Lord, don't worry. I got this one, Lord, don't worry. Half the time I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, and I'm still, you know. So I think it's a great moment when we admit we don't know how to do it. We don't have it worked out, and we're going to let Jesus make us into what he calls us to be. And so Jesus comes and he says, follow me. Now, I think wrongly, a lot of us have seen this follow me as salvation. You know, so, and maybe we've heard messages that way. And so I'm just going to gently push back on maybe what you have heard, because a lot of us, we would say, follow me. Well, that means I need to get up and go up to the altar. That means that. No. In the text, if we use the parallel passage in Luke chapter 5, this is not salvation. That actually happens a little bit earlier. Jesus comes and he sees them and they're fishing. And Simon says to Jesus, gosh, we've toiled all night long and we haven't caught any fish. And Jesus says, well, you got the net on the wrong side of the boat. Put it on the other side. Mm. And it says, Simon answered, Master, you know, we toiled. It doesn't work, but we'll do it. And it says, when they've done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and to help them. And when they came, they filled both boats so that both boats began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. That's the repentance. That's the salvation in this passage. And then Jesus says to him, come follow me. So the follow me is not salvation. The follow me is not accepting Christ by faith. The following me is setting your affections and desires upon Jesus and then following after him, wanting to be like him. If you were in Jesus' day and you became a student of a rabbi, your one goal in life was to be like your rabbi. Your one goal was to be like your teacher, to follow him around, to see how he applied his knowledge of the scripture to life.
what's that thing where you say that the dust, you follow him so closely that the very dust from his feet is
The dust of the rabbi would be upon you.
What's that thing where you, with the rubbing thing?
Rubbing through. We'll talk about that in our discipling class. Okay. We don't want to get too far ahead. But the idea was, and the really the idea was that you would watch and see how the particular teacher you followed applied what he taught to his life. Now, this is really important when we talk about how he would apply what he did to his life. Because don't think that as you're teaching, as you're making disciples, that people are not watching. And we see this because in Matthew chapter 7, in the very last verses, it says this, "And when Jesus finished these sayings," this is the Sermon on the Mount, this is his kind of magna opus teaching, "they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Mm. Now, when it says that he had authority, it didn't mean that Jesus had a louder voice. It didn't mean that Jesus had more prominence. It didn't mean that he had better illustrations. It means that the authority that his teaching had bore witness in his life. They saw Jesus walking around on the shores of Capernaum and in the market, and they saw Jesus at the synagogue. They saw Jesus all around, and they go, "My gosh, his teaching looks like his life." And then they turned around and they said, "It doesn't look like that in the scribe's life." Mm-hmm. Which is what Jesus later on, when he meets with the Pharisees and the scribes and he has dinner with them, what does he say? He says, "Boy, the outside of the cup is really clean, but the inside is a mess."
And call them, "You hypocrites."
Yeah, "You hypocrites." And so Jesus is going around, his life was matching his teaching. And so therefore, as students of a teacher, our life, we would want to see how the teachings are fleshed out in the life. And that's why oftentimes as Christians we're called hypocrites, because sometimes if we're really honest, and I think we need to be honest, because only honesty moves us to repentance, is that sometimes our life doesn't match the teaching of Jesus. Sometimes our life doesn't match Jesus' life. Sometimes people don't see Jesus in us, in our reactions and actions.
Sometimes could be more oftentimes.
Well, yeah, you know, sadly. What? And I think, look, the older I get this, and I said this to somebody the other day, the older I get, I don't see my failures as failures. I see my failures as opportunities mm-hmm. to grow. So every time I fail, I have this great opportunity to say, "You know what, Lord, I'm not there yet. Help me." Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, "You know what, gosh, I screwed up, I'm just no good as a Christian," I go, "You know what, Lord, I'm no good as a Christian, thank goodness, I need you more. More I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. My best defense is my righteousness, and my righteousness is what's been given to me by Christ." Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, "Follow me." That's not salvation. That's the call to be like him. "And I will make you fishers of men." Now, it's interesting, when Peter says that he was fishing to Jesus in that parallel passage in Luke 5, what does he say? "We toiled all night long." Now, why does he say we toiled all night long? Because the best fishing would happen at night. And one of the ways that the Galilee fishermen would do it is they would cast their nets out into the water on the side of the boat, and then they would put torches on the side of the boat because the fish would come up to the surface because they were attracted to the light. Now, I want you to hear the metaphor. You would cast your net off the side of the boat, and the fish, attracted to the light, would come out of the darkness to see what mm-hmm. the light was all about. And then you would catch them. Now, what does Jesus say? "I'll make you fishers of men." He's essentially saying in this moment to these disciples, as he's calling them, as these fishermen, he's saying, "You're going to call men and women out of darkness and towards the light, because I am the light of the world. Those who accept me as the light of the world will no longer walk and will no longer swim in darkness." See, that's as disciples of Jesus. That's what we do. We reflect the light of Christ, and we call people out of darkness, the same as those disciples fished. Some of us say, "Oh yeah, they were just simple fishermen." No. They had the program down pat. We've made the program so stinking difficult to get people to move from the darkness to the light that they don't move from the darkness to the light because they can't jump through all the hoops we've created. Our job is simply to reflect the light of Christ as disciples of Jesus, and then to cast the nets. And when you cast the nets, listen to me, friends, you don't catch every one of the fish, but you do catch the few who are willing to come to the light. Hmm. And so that's what our job and our call is to do. And then as we catch them, we pull them up and we say, "Now let me tell you about how the Word became flesh."
Hmm.
And listen to me, if you need a caveat to kind of move you towards the immense possibilities, is that Jesus gives them as they catch that first load of fish that Jesus calls them to catch, what happens? The nets are breaking. You don't think the nets broke that day in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preaches his first sermon and 3,000 people came to faith? I got to think that metaphorically the nets in Jerusalem in that moment were breaking open because there wasn't enough water for them all to get into. They were crowding into the fountains and into the little mikvahs and probably that were around there to be baptized into the name of Christ. And all the disciples did was hold out a light, cast a net, and let the light do its work. For many of us, we're making evangelism far too hard because we're not allowing the light of Christ to be the attraction. We're allowing our methods and means to become the way that we get them to come. And no wonder then that people just want to sit down and be convinced listeners because we've made it so hard for them to be committed learners.
Fishers of men. I'm thinking I had a post from the Sea of Galilee. It's the first post I've ever had. 1,200 people. It's like 1K.2 or something.
Wow.
Of the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee throwing the net in. That's at the Facebook page so you can kind of see what it's like. But being those fishers of men that Jesus has called us all to be. Not to be fans, but to be followers. Committed learners that take the information, take the truths, and apply them into our everyday lives. Oh, something that you mentioned and referenced, you're going to save that for the discipling class. We're going to be talking more about that in the next few weeks. Sometime after Easter, we'll have a series, maybe a 6 or 8 week series, a discipleship class here at the Great News Radio Center, probably a Tuesday night. We're working out the specifics, maybe at 6:30 or 7 at night. We'll see about an hour and a half. We'll have workbooks for everyone. We'll have a sign up for it. Be listening on how you can get involved and learn more about that. And stop by our website every so often because I'll probably at some point have a WooFoo sign up link for that.
You and that WooFoo, you love it.
I do. And then tomorrow, for those of you that want to be a part of our upcoming conversational English class or want to learn how to effectively teach and be a facilitator for international students learning English, come on by the Great News Radio Center at 10:30. But let me know by calling the station at 217-367-7777 or emailing me at mark@greatnewsradio.org. It'll be about a 1.5-2 hour session from 10:30 to 12:30 tomorrow here at the Great News Radio Center to be involved in our upcoming English conversation classes or just to learn how to be more effective in reaching internationals. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.